6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you get to go to BillMartinezLive.com. And, boy, perfect timing here to talk about immigration, especially after yesterday. And our go-to expert and historian is Bruce Thatcher, author of Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It. He's also the author of the award-winning Adamant Aggressors and Immigration, which we have discussed many times over the years. Always good to be talking to you. Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just great, Bill. And how are you doing? It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, exactly. Happy New Year is my thoughts to you and the family. And I think things are looking up. We have a grand opportunity to take care of some problems because, gosh, you know, go figure. We finally got a president that has some intestinal fortitude to go after these issues that have been lingering. And he's not much into kicking things down the road, as has been the tradition.
Well, the White House meeting yesterday certainly seemed to indicate that kind of a thing. It's the president is visibly behind some major changes in immigration, and it's not going to lead to what I might term a comprehensive single immigration bill, but he certainly made the points, and this discussion certainly covered four rather big things as regards immigration. Most encouraging to me, and it's consistent with points I've made in my book, is the subject of chain immigration is finally being talked about.
Exactly.
And until just a few months ago, that seemed to be a censored item. We didn't even talk about it, and yet it's the signature item of our current immigration law and probably the most problematic part of it.
Exactly, because when we look at the future, the economy, the resources of this country, no doubt this failed immigration program, which has been basically an ignorance, and I don't mean ignorance, lack of knowledge. I mean just a flat-out let's ignore the law about immigration and allow this thing to implode on itself, and then everybody sits there and says, well, we have a broken system. Well, what did you think was going to happen when you start obliterating the law?
It's very interesting to ponder on the idea that the law is being widely broken and ignored as regards immigration, which seems to indicate that people want something different, and they're willing to go so far as to ignore the law to get it. Yesterday the meeting covered 4 points. None of which are going to be comprehensive immigration. Interesting, what they didn't discuss or mention was the RAISE Act, which covers very much all those points and chain migration. Seems to indicate that probably won't get specifically addressed by Congress, but it does seem to indicate from the discussion that we are going to talk about the Dreamers, and we're going to get action on that, as well as a couple of three other things.
Well, Donald Trump made it a point and gave it some sense of urgency when he told Congress, look, you need to address this. We need to address DACA, make it a law, do your job. What Barack Obama did was illegal, so let's make it legal and let's make it right. Now, I would think, I know the DACA kids and the emotions running around it because of the uncertainty of it all, are concerned about it, but I think they need to play their cards right in such a way so that the perception is to the rest of this country that these Dreamers are in fact positive. But if they're going to go and be disruptive and overly emotional about this this situation and this opportunity, I mean, here they are, Bruce. They're on the verge of becoming you know, be able to officially come out of the shadows and be part of the country's woof and warp and fabric of what makes up this great country. And that's what's available to them. But, you know, I think we got to be careful about how politicized it gets.
It's too bad in many ways that the media and public perception of so many issues, and certainly that's true with DACA, is focused and shaped by what I think are a relatively small percentage of the people concerned who are going out to parade and protest in front of the cameras. But DACA will be a big thing for the majority of those individuals who, under that category of dreamers. Mm-hmm. It will, I think, be passed and finally legalize this whole question of the some 800,000 people who are here and have been here for years.
Exactly. And I'm not sensing either party wants to send them back to Mexico, or because what, about 80% of these dreamers are from Mexico, the rest, you know, from Central America, by and large, the way the breakdown goes. But, you know, nobody's talking about shipping these kids, you know, back to the border. Now, if you've broken the law, that's another deal. But if you want to come here, I think there is room for forgiveness and a gateway to some valid citizenship or position within this country. But it's going to come with some caveats, and that is that you're not going to come in and get, you know, a full, you know, with chain migration, you know, as you say, as that has come out of the closet and that more and more people are understanding what that represents. It's going to be a qualified acceptance, isn't it?
I think so. I certainly agree with you. I think virtually everybody, wants to support and supports the idea of, these folks staying in the country. And that's going to happen.
Right.
But I think it's important, as you say, that it happens in a way that appears to be consistent with the rest of our immigration policy, and that's going to take some effort on the part of those people, but it will happen.
Yeah, I agree. And also with that is that America is not going to settle, though I think about 70% of America agrees with with the dreamers, you know, letting the dreamers stay. But almost the same number agrees that we better get the wall up.
And that's certainly Trump's point. That's the second issue that such a strong point was made, that border security, which sort of the euphemism is the wall, that's got to be enhanced, because things won't work if it isn't enhanced, and that will be, I'm sure, absolutely coupled with the Dreamer program in a single bill to come out of this meeting. There are some other points he mentioned that I think will end up not being part of the first DACA solution, but will be handled down the line, such as the issues on the lottery.
Exactly.
And
Bruce, I want to get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break here. But certainly, okay, as we say, America is open to receive and accept and welcome the DACA, the Dreamers, but not without the wall. That could be a major problem, whether or not Mexico pays for it or not. Bruce Thatcher is with us. He is the founder of History Speaks Today, as a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history to help us avoid making the same mistakes. What a novel concept, right? And this is why we appreciate... right, Bruce? I mean, let's look at the past so we don't reproduce it, right?
Yeah, I don't, and I don't. And one of the lessons we mostly don't learn is that we don't learn the lessons.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we just keep on repeating this. And we've been down this road before. And does America have the courage? And do its leaders have the courage to see this through and to right the ship? I mean, I think America is getting tired. Main Street America is tired to no end. I mean, I think we hear one more time that the immigration system is broken, I think you're going to hear a collective scream that's going to go from coast to coast.
I do, but I think that what the administration and now the leaders of Congress are realizing is that America will not swallow in one big lump some massive master plan like Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're gonna pick off the things that are important, and they think they can get done. And we've talked about DACA, and we've talked about the wall. This diversity immigration lottery is another one that virtually everybody acknowledges. It doesn't make much sense in our current America, and yet it becomes in play as a negotiating tool. It lets in 50,000 people a year, which is just a teeny drop in the bucket of our total immigration, but it's so out of step with America's policy on these kinds of things.
Especially with the threats that we are realizing today. You open up the lotto. I mean, in a sense, this is like Russian roulette, isn't it?
Well, I think that's a pretty good metaphor on it, because here we're going to – essentially what the lottery says is we're going to reserve 50,000 slots every year for immigrants from countries that otherwise would not qualify immigrants to come here. And more important than that – is that the only qualification they have to come here, in effect, is that they win the lottery. They spin the wheel, and their number comes up, they come.
Yeah.
And the odds are that you're going to get some unvetted bad apples in that approach.
Yeah, and so what's in it for America? What's in it for its citizens to do this?
Well, if you take these 50,000 gambles out of the immigration citizen situation, it simplifies the system somewhat, but it also opens up theoretically 50,000 slots for immigrants that we want to, that we can specifically focus on and qualify and want to come into our country because we know they will contribute to the country.
Exactly. Well, Donald Trump said that Mexico is not sending their best. When he said Mexico, that could have been any foreign country for that matter that has sent their best. But he, you know, and you got to take this in the context in which this is said. People at first bothered them, and they took exception to that statement. But it's like, look, this is America. We have a lot to offer. Why shouldn't this be by invitation only? Why should we not be more critical of the people that come here in this country and say, okay, what do you have to offer? What do you have to add to this freedom project that we've invested over 200 years for? What can you do to advance the cause?
So much of the discussion on immigration seems to be framed within the concept of what is good for the immigrants and not necessarily what is good for America. We can't accept the 100 million or so people who would like to come here tomorrow if we could let them in. We couldn't swallow and digest that many immigrants, but we need a lot of immigrants. And so if we have that much pool to draw from, what is wrong with our selecting the ones that are most likely to enhance everything about American life? It's society, it's interrelationships, its economy, its well-being of all its people. I mean, those are the folks we ought to want to bring in here, and we have the opportunity to do that through our immigration system if we just structure it to do that.
Yeah, and the disgusting thing about all this, Bruce, is that we can articulate and discuss the potential aspects of a positive immigration policy, and then you've got these activist governors in states that want to become sanctuary states and preempt the program. What is all this about?
Well, I think that what it's all about is that everybody thinks that everybody in power thinks that they should be able to define their own criteria for immigrants to come in here in furtherance of a whole variety of agenda items. But I think that clearing up some of these kinds of things begins to chip away at that sanctuary city, mentality. I don't think sanctuary cities are going to get addressed very visibly by Congress, which is where it needs to be, where it needs to happen if we want anything significant to change, legally, because most senators and representatives, or at least a large number of them, have sanctuary cities slash voters mm-hmm. in their constituencies, and it's an issue. I don't think they'll want to touch it.
Well, this is it. In a sense, isn't this a little bit? I mean, let's rewind back to Abraham Lincoln, where you're looking at the very fiber and the core of the existence of the republic. I mean, doesn't this challenge this? Doesn't this chip away at the foundational issues of our federal government?
Well, I think it certainly does, because what it's saying, it's very clear in the law that immigration is in the province of the federal government, not the states.
Right.
And not the cities. So what's happened is that states and city jurisdictions have said, we don't want to obey that law. Mm. We want to have our own law. And that gets back to the Civil War. The Civil War is fought over a question of federal versus state
rights.
Freedoms,
yes, right,
and prerogatives.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, and this is what I think is opening up here. But again, if we don't arrest this issue sooner and we allow this to gain momentum, I mean, already where you have the state of California saying, hey, we're not happy with cities anymore. We're just going to be an entire state. And their whole premise for doing such is so false and ill-founded, because on the surface they say, well, we need to protect the illegal immigrants that have come to the country. I understand that, but you don't protect them there. You protect them at the border before they even come in to allow a subculture to exist, and now you're trying to manage a subculture that you have no idea. There is not enough personnel to understand the varying cultures and the nuances of illegal immigrants, is there?
I don't think so. And if you logically extend the philosophies that are espoused by the sanctuary provinces, what you go is where you get to is a breakup of the union.
Mm-hmm.
California might as well be, to use that as an example, they might as well take it a little bit further and just become a separate country, because
right.
they want to control all those aspects of immigration, in particular defiance of the federal government.
Well, they're so confused right now, they're talking about breaking up into six different states. So what does that tell you about California? Sadly, it is absolute insanity on the West Coast. This is why I'm here in Florida now, Bruce, I'll tell you. Bruce Thatcher on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it, as always.